It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey once again with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the counselor of a brand new year, brand new show for a first show of the new year. And I assume your holidays were good, Daniel?
They were. Yeah, we had a nice, quiet Christmas meal. Our daughter and her husband and one of my brothers. How about you?
Really good. Yeah. We actually had some exchange students from Japan with us, both for Christmas. We had one, and then we swapped out and got two more through the New Year's holiday. Mm-hmm. So kind of different for us, kind of trying to keep our minds off of ourselves.
But you've done that before, haven't you?
First time we've done it during the Christmas New Year's season. I don't know if we'll do it again. Maybe not 2 weeks worth. Maybe just 1 week next time.
Yeah, so, we've had a guest. We had a guest in our home for 4 months this year.
And four months.
Yeah, 4 months.
Was that a guest or a roommate or who was it?
No, it was actually my older sister on furlough back from Africa. So it changes the whole dynamic.
It does change the dynamic. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things you've learned in counseling through the years. This week we're going to actually kind of get a refresher course on just who is Daniel Pryor.
Yeah,
conversion.
I do this about once a year, I think, and this is a good time of year to people that don't know who I am, and maybe they've listened to the show a bit, or maybe this is the first time you've heard the show. But yeah, we'll want to talk a little bit about my background and also the services that I offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, life coach and counselor. There is a distinction there, and you have gone over that. So I assume we'll kind of review some of that. But tell us first of all a little bit of your conversion, because you Bible-based counselor is your website, and you do believe in bringing the Bible and Christian. Mm-hmm. You're what's called a Christian counselor, not a secular counselor. Mm-hmm. But you bring in spiritual principles into your counseling sessions.
And I have, over the years, had people that have come and expect pastoral counseling, which is different.
How is that different?
Well, because I do have the background in secular psychology, and so I bring that to the table, whereas pastoral counseling would probably be your meeting with the pastor, going over scriptures, praying together, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I got into counseling as I did is that in being in the church, particularly through the post-Jesus people movement, and probably it would be the late 70s, early 80s, and around that, my wife and I were attending a church down in Lacey for quite a number of years, and I was kind of getting my feet wet in more and more counseling, and they had an approach there that a lot of churches were using, a lot of the what we would call restoration churches, or sort of the new movement churches. You know, the Jesus People movement had and that era had a lot of, there was like a kind of a movement, and there were a lot of conversions, and a lot of those young people became pastors of churches. Mm. And there was such a growth that and anytime you have that kind of growth, you're going to have people caught in the or falling through the net. Mm. People with people bring along their addictions and their problems, and there's not enough help to go around to get them through that. So I just kind of saw a big lack in the counseling in the church. People with serious problems weren't getting helped. Mm. And this particular approach, the philosophy of it was that if you really wanted help, you'd be better. So since you're not getting better, you don't want help, you're not serious about it.
Very simplistic.
So go away and we're going to move on. So I thought, well, there's got to be a better approach to counseling. Mm. And so that's what took me to school. So when I am in working with people, I have a biblical basis, and I tell people that my model, the way I see health, is through Scripture. So obviously it's going to involve a fundamental faith base and relationship with God, because without that, I don't think you can have real mental health. You can play kind of mental health games, and for example, one of the very important things about mental health is to have some kind of a goal and a purpose in your life. Well, if you're if you don't have faith, you can put up purposes and goals, but you have, when you meet those, you have to put up another one. And the problem with all of that is that the purposes and goals can be kind of like all over the place. Mm. They don't follow a particular path because there's nothing then ultimately out there that's drawing you through life. As if you have faith in God, then your goals and purposes here on earth always line up with that. And if something goes awry or you don't meet a goal, you still have that ultimate purpose. And so it's easier to stay on track that way.
Well, is it pretty important when you like start with somebody to find out, first of all, are they a Christian or not? I mean, I would think that would kind of affect the way you counsel them. And I would think, particularly in the early days, that was something you were probably wanted to be sure. And but did you lead a lot of people to Christ through counseling? Or
no, I have a mix of people. So not all the people I see are born again believers. I've always marketed through the church, and I've always, for years, I've had a publication, Christian Counselors Forum, which I started almost 20 years ago, and I started with just sending out to local pastors. So my entire advertisement was just this. It was a monthly publication at the time. And I would send this out to 250 different pastors. Mm. And then that's how I got my response and my referral. So at that time, almost all of my clients were coming from a church. Not all of them, but almost all of them came from a church.
So already,
90%.
Already Christians then.
Yeah, and of the other remaining, say, 10% or whatever, they could see that my office at the time was in a church. They could see my card said faith-based. Some of them, on maybe a couple of occasions, I had people say, I don't want any part of that religious stuff. I'm not interested in that at all. But even in those cases, eventually, when you're talking about change in life and why should we change and the purpose of change, I mean, the elephant in the room is the answer to that question. Why should I do good? Why should I be better to my wife? Why should I be better to my husband? And so there's always that kind of that question that they don't want to answer. Mm. And sometimes, a lot of times I've had people then come around and say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. Or my grandfather was a pastor, or something like that. And so there's always some connection with faith, although, so not all of my clients are Christians. And to answer your question directly, I don't probe to see if they're, they pretty much make that clear. They'll come in and say, I heard you on the radio, I was referred from my pastor, or mm-hmm. something like that. Okay. So, and they make it pretty clear, to begin with. Mm-hmm. Others, that come in without saying that, before long, you find out that, they're in the Catholic Church, or they're in the Episcopal Church, or they're in some church, or they've had a Christian mm-hmm. education or something like that. And that's the reason that they came to me. Mm-hmm. So that's generally what it is. I've had Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, kind of a cross-section of everything.
Mm, okay.
So people say, well, how would you counsel faith-based in that? Well, I don't have to. I am faith-based. And so when I'm talking to someone like that, and I'm maybe even deliberately trying to skirt issues of religion and that and those kinds of things. Nevertheless, mental health eventually has to do with our spiritual reality too.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically we'll get to a point like that and a person will kind of tease that subject. We'll toss it around a little bit. And then probably if they're determined that they're not, that bothers them because they're under conviction, let's say.
Right.
Then they probably won't come back.
Yeah.
But well, I've had people come back and just continue to talk about the
issues. Well, I would think those things then sort themselves out. People come to you, obviously, because they're struggling with something. They need help. Getting back to kind of more the transition from the church pastoral counseling and being kind of the go-to guy who is officially a counselor, you've seen, I think, as all of us has, a real development in the acceptance or the rejection thereof of counseling. mm-hmm. and what's come to be known as Christian counseling versus secular mm-hmm. counseling. I mean, there was a time, and there probably is still in many people's idea and minds, kind of a stigma about counseling mm-hmm. and going back into the past and drumming up all why you don't like your mm-hmm. parents and what. It seems like so many Christians approach this subject as you just need to get over it and move on in your life with God, mm-hmm. and they don't want to look at the past or anything. They don't see any value in that. How have you kind of addressed that through the years? And
I don't see as much of it as I used to see years ago, but it's still out there. And I still, I work closely with pastors if they're comfortable doing that. I like doing that because I feel like mental health has to do with more than just individuals. It has to do with the community. Mm-hmm. And part of a person's mental health is their involvement in their church community. So I like working with the pastors. And occasionally I will run into a situation where the pastor simply does not trust anyone who's had a secular education, but not as much as I used to see mm-hmm. it.
People seem to kind of struggle with mixing biblical ideas with more traditional secular, mm-hmm. Psychoanalytic, the mm-hmm. Freud and Jung and all these different mm-hmm. kinds of mm-hmm. more secular ideas. How are you able to kind of bring those ideas together with Christian counseling?
I think that a lot of those men and women who explored what we call psychiatry and psychology today, they did really stumble on some kind of truisms of mental stability. Some of them were trying very hard to keep God out of it and keep mm-hmm. faith out of it. Mm-hmm. But you can sort of see the buildings beginning to crumble or their house of cards coming down. It's Abraham Maslow, who I use or I refer to his motivational, his hierarchy of motivational needs from time to time. Which I think is
valid.
I think is valid, mm-hmm. and I think it's mm-hmm. profound. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of counselors say that that's old thinking, but I've reasoned around it and around, and I think they've misunderstood the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Because we do go through life to meet in order to meet needs. That's we're drawn to meet needs. So I use his things, and when Maslow first began, he was a reductionist. He was a behavioralist, and he thought that everything could be reduced to just atoms and impulses. But then he was married, and his wife became pregnant, and she had a little girl. And so when he encountered this baby daughter, he, in his words, he found reductionism and behavioralism repulsive, and he realized that there were emotions that couldn't be explained from that. So these people all at some point encounter the roadblock. They're trying to get to health, and they're trying to do it without faith, and they find there's a point at which you can go no further.
Because so much secular counseling and psychology, and it's kind of almost a secular religion. It's kind of mm-hmm. replaced God and spirituality in many people's lives, certainly in secular people's lives. They go to their counselor the way they would go to a priest, mm-hmm. but they go to their counselor. So it definitely has some landmines you need to watch out for. Getting to know Daniel Pryor, his practice, life coaching, counseling. Daniel Pryor will return in a moment with more. Daniel, if people are intrigued, they know they need some help. They know maybe a family member who needs your services. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, getting to know Daniel Pryor once again this week as we start a new year. Some fresh insight into the guy who is part of this show, Sound Mind. You've been a counselor since you said like the early 70s?
Yeah, let me just kind of go back into that, because I say that I've been counseling for all these years. So let me qualify that. I inherited a little youth group when I was right in 18, 19, when I, during that Jesus People movement about 1967, 68, right in there. And when I committed my life to the Lord, and was attending a small church in the Juanita area, and I kind of, by default, inherited a small youth group, and simply because I was the oldest one in the youth group.
18 or 19
because
years
I had
old.
A, yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, we went out witnessing and took hikes in the woods and things like that. And that's when I first kind of started getting my feet wet in terms of counseling. And then also, I was sort of like the first kid on the block to do the Jesus People movement thing. And so I had...
Did you have long hair back then?
I had long hair.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
I had, friends and friends of friends that we started a little meeting in the downstairs in the house that my parents lived in. And I was sort of getting my feet wet in terms of giving people counsel. And so from that point on, I've always been involved in the different number of churches that I was at. Always somewhat had my kind of hand in that aspect of the ministry. I moved down to Lacey in about 1972. And where later I met my wife about 5 or 6 years later, but for that helped to start a church out in Shelton all the time, kind of, you know, sort of involved in on the fringes in counseling. I was in construction at the time, and over the next few years, I wound up having two back surgeries that took me out of construction. Mm. Went back to school,
okay.
And actually,
what
I went,
kind of schooling did you go back
for? I went back for low voltage electronics.
Oh, okay.
I was going to get into biomed, but the program fell apart just as school was starting, and so I was enrolled in school. I'd paid tuition, so I had to pick a class, and I took a psych class.
Okay.
And actually did very well in it, and it really interested me. And I thought, maybe that's something that I should continue because I'd wanted to see better counseling in the church by that time. Mm-hmm. My wife and I had been pastoring a single adults group in the church we were in. We did that for about a 5-year period, and actually organized Northwest Regional Singles Retreats down at Black Lake and Lacey. So I went back, took that psych class. The rest, story short, 4 years of psych. And then because of my injury and my surgeries, I had become familiar with voc rehab and time loss and all that, and actually became a voc rehab counselor for 5 years, working my way through graduate school. Mm. And so then after graduate school, did an internship, mental health internship at in the public sector down in Tacoma, and was there for 5 years, and then hung up my own shingle. And so for about 20 years now, I've been in private practice. So my experience in counseling goes way, way back.
Way back.
And so I've been
so just as a lay counselor in church until it became an actual profession for you. Now, you are a counselor. You're not a psychiatrist. You're not a doctor. You're not a medical person.
Right, correct. So
you don't dispense medicine or write prescriptions.
I don't. And okay.
And you're not a big believer in that aspect
metal. I'm not a big fan of it. I've always appreciated the writings of Peter Brennan. Peter Bregan, excuse me, is a psychiatrist and has written articles on just about every medication that's out there. He's got a huge website. If anybody is on medication or questions medication, you know, a good place to go is Bregan.com, Bregin.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always kind of looked at medications as being something that a person might need for a short period of time, but that it should be kind of a stopgap, and that the thing about mental health is just in growing your world, being goal-oriented, developing relationships.
So long-term health really has to do more with those behavioral modifications,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
not medicine.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of my career path. When I first started out, hung up my old shingle, I I was down in the Tacoma area, and contacted probably over the time that I was there. I had a mailing list of about 250 pastors, and that kept me busy. Mm-hmm. There was one church there that was referring 250 people a year to me.
Wow.
Well, I didn't see all of those. You typically see 10%. So,
right.
But 25 solid referrals a year, that was a lot coming from one church body.
Well, so. How long in your estimate then, how long should a person be in, quote, counseling? Like weekly counseling moves to monthly to quarterly? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you like to see? Or is it just very individual? Depends on the person's needs.
It's individuals because what you want to accomplish in counseling, what I want people to accomplish, I like to give people tools, and I like them to use those tools and incorporate that into their life management. And then when they're doing that, they just need to get better and better at that. And then that's where the faith part is so fundamental and critical, because not everybody's healing feels the same. Not everybody's mm-hmm. walk in life is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So some people can kind of just bounce right through a counseling curriculum, and some people will come and see me, just a half a dozen times, and then will be doing fine. Other people, because of the layers of pain and really layers and layers of lack of self-confidence, you can get to where people have to repeat and repeat and repeat. But I do like to see people if they're typically people will start out once a week, but I've had people start out every other week. But what you don't want to do is go backwards. So when people start off every other week and then every time we get together, we haven't really gained any ground. Mm-hmm. Then I would say let's do every week for a short period of time, so that until the point that when we meet, we're actually building on what we did mm-hmm. Last week, and you start building these things into your life. So mm-hmm. it's through repetition. Then they go to every other week, sometimes monthly. And I even have people that look me up when they're in town, or do you have some time this week or next week or something mm-hmm. like that, just a refresher. Mm-hmm. How long should people be in counseling? It really is an individual thing, but I keep my eye on, are we actually moving forward mm-hmm. or are we at a stuck?
Well, as we're into the first part of the brand new year, too, I would think, do a lot of people want to come in and set up those mm-hmm. goals for the new year, and mm-hmm. the more the life coach part of what you do maybe comes into play more. Let's get some goals set up for the new year.
And I think I was talking to somebody the other day about how New Year's kind of serves as almost permission to let Christmas go. Christmas can be so traumatic for people.
Right.
And just kind of the afterglow of Christmas, and because you have all your family around you and then they're gone. And for a lot of people, they're going back to school or back, and it's there's like anxiety there. Mm. And the New Year's, it kind of gives us one more hoorah to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And then after that's done, we have permission to take the lights down.
Mm-hmm.
So this time of year, a lot of people do kind of struggle with, wanting to say, I want this year to be different. I just want to grow this year. And mm-hmm. so, it's appropriate to come in and kind of look at what's holding me back. And, as one person said, is this real life? Mm-hmm. Is this the way it's supposed to be? And for mm-hmm. some people, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I do the faith-based counseling. I do bring scripture up. And I think that even if we don't bring scripture up, or if it doesn't come up, people are aware of the fact that we're in the pages of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
And so I like to take those positive things that even secular psychologists have stumbled on, and that those for me are biblical principles. Mm-hmm. So I use those.
Well, all truth is God's truth. If it's true, then mm-hmm. it comes from God ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you have with the modern convenience of Skype, you're even mm-hmm. able to do some counseling over Skype. How does that work?
Yeah, that of course there's the credit card information, but a lot of people, even in the state of Washington, they want counseling, but they're a bit far away. I've had people from like Kitsap County, for example, that want counseling. Sometimes I have some people who don't mind riding the ferry up to Edmonds and kind of, make a day of it and mm-hmm. have a counseling session and a lunch mm-hmm. on the water. But there are people who are a bit out of reach. Now, the thing about Skype is that insurance companies don't cover Skype at this time. But the rate is a flat rate. It's a $55 a session rate. And when people start to think of, their expense of travel, their expense of time off work, the difficulty of setting an appointment time, plus the copay. They're way ahead. Sure. You know, they're going to spend a lot more than that $55. Sure. And then people say, well, $55 four times a week. But, you know, the way I work, unless there's really serious difficulty, and when there is, Skype is probably not a good idea. But for a lot of the counseling I do, we can cover an awful lot of ground in a session and give people a lot of things. They typically, I've had people come in just one time a month and move forward and actually progress.
Great. Well, some great ideas here for the new year. If you've been thinking about getting some counseling and maybe more some life coaching on some goals for the new year, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. All of these programs are, of course, podcasted at the website, mm-hmm. BibleBasedCounselor.com, mm-hmm. and also people email me through that website, and that's fine, too.
Okay. And your offices are located?
I have an office in Kirkland. I have an office in Edmonds right now.
Okay. Yeah. Great information, as always. Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.